In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. In the Gospel lesson this morning, Jesus kind of warns us that in the end of time, at the final judgment, whatever that looks like, there will be a great reversal of the order generally seen on earth. In God's time, the humble will be exalted, and the exalted will be humbled. So we are encouraged now to throw off the habit of criticizing others, of thinking of ourselves better than others, and lording our superior knowledge or position over others. Because those kind of self-righteous attitudes toward other people aren't going to get us anywhere with God. In the lesson from 2 Timothy, which presents itself as a letter written by Paul to his assistant Timothy, it sounds at first like Paul might need to listen to the gospel's warning not to get too full of himself. At first, it sounds like he might be boasting a bit when he says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And now there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day." But if we understand that the man writing this letter is probably writing from prison, after a lifetime of wholeheartedly preaching the gospel, which was then a criminal offense, and that he's writing after having been abandoned by his most well-meaning friends and compatriots, left to suffer alone, then we can hear these words quite differently. There's a hint of his situation when he says, "At my first defense, no one came to my support, but all deserted me." And if we read the verses in the middle of the passage that were dropped from the assigned reading today, you'll note the citation has some missing verses. The abandonment that this man has experienced comes into even sharper relief. In those verses is a litany of how virtually all of his colleagues and friends have abandoned the cause when the going got tough. Demas, "In love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica." Crescens and Titus have done the same. "Alexander the coppersmith has done me great harm," he says. "He strongly opposed our message." But he also says, "The Lord will repay him for his deeds." No, he doesn't have any bitterness. Not at all. Among hundreds, maybe even thousands of disciples in the Christian community among the Gentiles, only Luke has remained, he says, and maybe Mark. As it turns out, this letter of 2 Timothy is one of the disputed letters of Paul. In other words, it's not certain that Paul himself wrote the letter, but for a variety of reasons, many scholars think that it may have been written by someone later, a follower of Paul who identified with his experience and so therefore wrote as if he were Paul. So whether it was Paul who wrote it or not, it doesn't really matter. What matters is that the author is clearly writing from an experience of devoting himself wholeheartedly to teaching and living the gospel and of being left alone to suffer the consequences because when the going got tough, everyone else, or virtually everyone else, abandoned ship. In the verses which the lectionary committee kind of carefully excised from our reading, lest they show us a negative side of Christian community, we hear the bitterness and hurt of abandonment. And we have a window into the ways that we can, and in fact do, disappoint one another. Personally, I think it does us more good than harm to deal with this kind of thing out on the table than to brush it under the rug and act like that's not a part of our experience in community. All of us, can identify with the author of this letter on some level. All of us have had disappointments and negative experiences of Christian community, somewhere else or here, even if, by and large, we are very happy with our church. As I've gotten to know this parish over the last 4 years, I've heard stories from people here at St. Francis, people who've had experiences in other churches where they felt judged or on the outside because they were gay or divorced. Others who came from, again, other churches that were overly focused on the sinfulness of human nature, and so they felt beaten up in those churches rather than encouraged and inspired and loved. I've heard about people coming from other churches that abused authority, telling people what they must think or must believe in order to be in good standing in the community. Even people with cult-like experiences where leaders tried to control who they dated or whether they could leave the community or not. But lest we think we are so much better here, we also disappoint one another here at St. Francis. We've had people feel pressured into volunteering for things. Their own limitations, like back problems or family commitments or even just a simple no, not always being respected. And on the flip side of that, at a recent peer ministry training that Paula led, there were people who shared having the responsibility of calling to recruit volunteers for things that we have invested in and committed to for many years at St. Francis, feeling utterly deflated as they make call after call after call, and no one seems interested in helping out. So there's disappointment on both sides of that issue. We've had people getting out on a limb, giving themselves and giving themselves, only to look around and find no one else out on that limb with them. Because it's either not where the rest of the community is in its, you know, in its general commitment, or because institutionally we're not capable yet of supporting that kind of ministry that that particular person or persons are feeling called to do. Sometimes I know that people here feel that their hard work may seem invisible to those around them, go unappreciated and unseen. Is any of this sounding familiar? Sometimes people talk about each other behind their backs and yet smile to their faces. I've heard of leaders who are doing their best and having, you know, the best of intentions, making the best decisions they can, who sometimes know more than those who are not in leadership, getting criticized harshly and getting angry letters, sometimes signed, sometimes unsigned, in their mailboxes because someone disagrees with the decision that's been made, rather than having someone come and talk to them and say, you know, I'm concerned. So all these things are a part of the life of our community, but let me let you in on a secret. I don't think there is a single church on the planet where that doesn't also happen. So this is who we are. All these things can make us want to throw in the towel on Christian community. And especially for people who are new to the faith, when we fail to live up to the ideals of love and respect and service that bind us together, we can end up undermining the whole effort. People can easily give up on community when they're new to it and they begin to see the human side of it. But for anyone who is currently feeling that kind of loneliness or disappointment or frustration, I think there are two very positive takeaways from today's lesson from 2 Timothy. The first is this. We should examine ourselves. We may not be doing the best, and we should take a look at that in how we are behaving. Are we ourselves living up to the ideals of love and respect and service and peace? And if we are not, here's a wonderful opportunity to begin, and to begin again, and to begin again and again. We should also examine ourselves to see that if we are doing what we are doing, or if we are being here in the midst of this community out of real, genuine love for God and love of our neighbor, in a spirit of service and peace, and not just with our own self-interests and priorities at heart, then even if those around us should disappoint us or criticize us or leave us out on a limb, we should know that God stands with us. God is always on the side of love and service and respect and peace. Always. And thus we can take solace even if we feel alone and have confidence, as the writer of 2 Timothy did, that even though we are sometimes feeling poured out as a libation, as a sacrifice, we have very good company in doing that. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake." He also knew a thing or two about being deserted and abandoned, misunderstood, mistreated, falsely accused. So if we are genuinely seeking to follow Jesus, then with him, with the Apostle Paul and others who have gone before us, in an effort to wholeheartedly love God and serve God, we are not finally ever alone. Not really. The second thing I think we can take away from this lesson is this. Though we may be disappointed by Christian community sometimes, see its hypocrisy revealed, see human failure at work, it is still ultimately worth being a part of. Paul, or whoever wrote 2 Timothy, certainly thought so. Even though he had great cause for bitterness, and he gives us his litany of disappointments, ultimately, he does not say, "Forget it. You're not worth it." Ultimately, at the end of that litany of those who have deserted him, he says, "Luke is with me, and let's call on Mark to continue to walk with us." Though his community fails him again and again, and he even has a certain bitterness about it, he doesn't ever give up on community. Because ultimately, community is God's chosen vehicle for planting seeds of a new way of being in the world and growing the kingdom of God on earth. That's why God sent Moses to free the Hebrews in captivity in Egypt, so that that whole people could be made 12 tribes of Israel, who might be formed to be a light to the rest of the nations, to be a people who practiced a way of peace. Were they perfect at it? No. They practiced a way of justice and of love. It's no accident that Jesus called 12 disciples to travel with him and to work with him and live with him. Because though we may fail each other at times, we also need each other. The loss of a dear member of our staff today reminds us just how much we need each other. Iron sharpens iron, too. You know, we make each other better, better than we can be on our own. And though we might fail our highest ideals at times, where else in the world are people intentionally practicing love and trying to call each other to a way of love, to service, to respect and peace? So let's stick together in this common enterprise. And let us be able to say with Paul that we have not given up, but we have fought the good fight, we have finished the race, and we have kept the faith. This God of love begs that of us. Amen.